B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
As promised, too, call 617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want to grab them. Carmine's in Abington. Hi, Carmine.
Hi. I was just wondering what you guys think. Like, how important do you hold the offensive line versus other positions? And does that change based on the quarterback that you have, whether it's Tom Brady, Stidham, Newton, Mahomes? Like, just how do you view that offensive line as important compared to the rest?
I think it's important to have a good offensive line.
Critical.
I don't think you necessarily have to pay for it, though. And I think the Patriots have proven that over the years. You know, they've had really good offensive lines, but it's coaching, it's scheme, it's the quarterback helping them out. It's all those things. And I think if you have to devote a ton of money, especially to guard, that's not the way you want to do it. If you've got a stud, you know, apartment building left tackle, yeah, those guys get paid. I get it. No problem. But the rest of it, you know, you have some money and good players, but I don't think you need to be at the top of the market in terms of offensive line spending to get the job done. That's how I feel about it.
I mean, I would even say the Patriots have avoided even paying those left tackles, really. And I'm talking about top of the market now. Like, they've had, you know, pretty good left tackles from, you know, Nate Solder was okay, Light was good, but they weren't, you know, all-time franchise left tackles, best in the game, Anthony Munoz. They didn't have those kinds of guys.
Right.
And so, now look, I think the performance of the line is really important, because if your offensive line blows, I think your offense is doomed. I just don't think you can. The only chance you have, and even then, if the line's really bad, I don't think it works. But if you have an average line and a quarterback like Brady, who can get the ball out quickly and diagnose before the snap, and just eliminate the whole pass blocking aspect, at least with for any length of time, then you can get away with it. But you know, barring that kind of quarterback back there, look at what happened last year. They couldn't even run the ball. So I just think the offensive line can undermine the whole thing.
Here's Steven in the car on Pasternak. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, you know, you get really aggravated about the fact that Boston franchises just can't seem to adjust to the new breed of 19-year-olds that are coming through the ranks. I mean, we lost Tyler Seguin for no real good reason at all that anybody can come up with.
Steven, what are you blaming the Bruins for here with Pasternak?
Say?
What are you blaming the Bruins for with Pasternak?
Well, no, I'm blaming right now that it seems to be emerging that Pasternak is in the same wagon as Seguin as Tatum is, and that...
Okay, so hold on. I'm just going to cut you off. I don't blame the Bruins because David Pasternak can't post. It's not their fault. Everyone else is on the ice getting ready. He's not. And Kashe, too. Put him on the list. But I care more about David Pasternak. He's their franchise player. The most important guys on the team is David Pasternak. And he's not ready to go. He won the first run back. He was the last one back, and he lasted a day. So whatever that is, COVID, out of condition, a bad test, whatever, he can't. He's not available. That's on him. What's the team supposed to do there? So please.
And given his history, recent history at that, with that thumb injury last year, which, as you're right, Mike, like, didn't get enough.
Oh, did he skate?
So, I don't know. To me, he shows a lack of personal responsibility, as
totally
did Tyler Seguin did and has continued to do. So I think that's, you know, fair to bring up. Like,
but this, yeah, I think the caller's got it mixed up too, though. I'm with Mike on this one. And I don't mean I'm not with you, Murray, because I think we're all in the same area, which is to say that with Seguin, fine, there was the off-ice thing. The Bruins didn't cut him loose on the ice. That was different. That was, they expected Seguin, they wanted Seguin to mold to them instead of appreciating and understanding what his talents were and letting him be an offensive player. It didn't work. It was a bad fit. They cut him loose. That was the end of it. To me, it feels like with Pasternak, they've learned from the mistake. Like, I think they look at Pasternak and say, listen, line up on that dot on the power play. Fire away. And we know you're deficient in the zone. Now, they probably played him at times when they shouldn't in the final minutes of the game. Mike, you pointed that out a million times. But overall, Pastrnak's the kind of player that they didn't integrate on the ice for far too long because he wasn't necessarily a Bruin. But the off-the-ice thing, oh, that's on him, please.
You're all missing it. They got Sagan right. Sagan, until Sagan wins a damn thing, I'm not going to, you know, it was a lousy trade. The return sucked. The idiot Shirelli, Louis Erickson, for, you know, for the number two overall pick. It was a brutal return.
They didn't play to Sagan's strengths in the system.
He's a loser.
What? How many's Pastrnak won?
Yeah, well, so this is what I'm wondering, too. So, look, I'm wondering if David Pastrnak knows what it takes. I'm with you 100%. And if they deem that he doesn't have what it takes and they move on from him, fine. You just can't trade him for Louis Erickson. That's the problem with the Sagan thing. Until Sagan proves he can lead a team, then I'm sorry. I'm not blaming him for moving on from Sagan. I'm blaming him for not getting first-round picks back and getting freaking Louis Erickson. That's the problem with that.
They could have gotten more out of Sagan on the ice. They didn't use him right. They wanted Sagan to be a two-way player, just like they want everyone to be a two-way player, and they wanted to minimize the offensive talent. It was a waste.
Well, you're talking.
If they were going to play him the way they were playing, and I'm not telling you I like his work ethic either. I'm just telling you they didn't integrate him right.
Well, that's fine. That's Claude. That's Claude's issue.
I mean,
Cassidy's far more willing to let guys be real, true three-way players, which means offensive zone, Claude. So that's a Cassidy-Claude difference. Fine. I mean, I'm with you on that. But, look. Until Pastrnak, you know, proves something, I'm going to look at it and say, you don't get it. You don't get it, dude. You're one of the best players in the team, one of the best players in the league. It's time to get serious. Allen and Taunton on the Patriots. Go ahead, Allen.
Hey, yeah, Felger, I just heard you make a point about the offensive line. And I'm wondering, you know, if Scar really covered up a lot of holes there in his coaching ability. I know the year that we didn't have him, we struggled there. So I wonder if now that he's gone, if you do have to pay for offensive line, that's something you do have to invest in without, you know, him there to support the team.
So look, Alan, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat, and there's a lot of different examples of how teams have done it. But I just think on the offensive line, it should be a combination of coaching and scheme and getting guys not at top dollar, but that fit what you do, and you coach them up and your offense plays to their, like, all those things. If you start having, if three of your top six highest paid guys are on the offensive line, I don't know, man. Well, and then there's no money for the positions that do cost a lot of money. Quarterback, corner, receiver, pass rusher. You know, those are the positions that generally you have to pay for. If you've spent all your money on guard, you don't have money left over for those spots. I just don't think that's the way to go about it.
Yeah, it's not something that they would typically do. But if you're cheap at quarterback, then you can spend it elsewhere, and you need to have some continuity up front. So that's why I had no problem with it when they put the tag initially on Tooney, because it looked to me like they were going into the season with Stidham at quarterback. Young, unknown. You want to try to protect him as much as possible. So try to have the line, you know, as again, the continuity is important. You get Andrews back. Hopefully the right is healthy. And you just want it to be as set as possible. And now it's going to be Cam Newton. And if it's going to work with Cam Newton, guess what? The offensive line, pretty damn important. So I don't really mind it.
Zach in Nashua. Go ahead, Zach. What do you got on the Pats?
I was thinking, so
what planet do you think? On what planet do you think he thought that phone would work?
Bye-bye.
Pull over. Find a zone and call us back, Zach.
Better off sending it in Morse code.
617.
Write a letter.
779-0985. Alan in California. Go, Alan.
Hey, guys. The thing about the juggernaut in Kansas City, I just wonder when the Patriots are going to really field a team that's really capable of going deep into the playoffs and competing at that level, you know, year after year. And that's kind of what I'm looking forward in the long term, as opposed to this little thing that we're going through now with the drama with Cam and Jarrett.
Alan, that's tough. I think they've been to 13 AFC title games.
Yeah.
Is that right?
What are the Patriots going to finally field a team that can compete every year? Huh? When's that going to happen? Seriously, are you kidding me with that crap? I'm like the most negative guy on the planet. One of them anyway, maybe third, actually. I put myself third because you two are ahead of me.
No, Adam Jones.
Okay, fourth. So, I mean, I'm up there. I'll put myself up there. Even I wouldn't say, when are the Patriots going to put a team together that can compete year in and year out? That's a new low for the Felger and Mass show. Wow.
Well, we didn't entertain it, you know, in fairness to us. We did not say good point, caller. Mike in Linfield on Pastrnak. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys, can you do me a favor, Felger? Don't run Pastrnak out of town because of this. I don't think the buttoned-up thing with the Bruins has done them. A lot of times they've kind of fell on their face without big scoring in the playoffs. I think, you know, Patrick Kane likes to drink. Ovechkin likes to drink. Pastrnak likes to have a good time. You can still do that, and you can be an effective big-time player.
Oh, you
and
can?
I think a lot of times. Hold on.
Effective big-time player is one thing. Win a cup? Right. Now Pat Kane has proved he can do it. And Ovechkin finally did. It took him forever. And if Pastrnak does that, if Pastrnak goes out and lights it up on town and then goes and wins a cup, then fine, I'll put him in the Pat Kane category. Instead, Mike, he hurt his hand and then couldn't play well in the playoffs last year and they lost. So that's where he is right now. And now they're back with a chance to win another cup and he can't even get on there 2 days.
Mike, Patrick Kane ran through the streets of Chicago naked during a playoff series when he was drunk, and he went out and scored a hat. I mean, it can happen. Let's not act like Tyron Bergeron have been these, like, ultimate performers in the playoffs that you're just going to completely do things their way. You do need some scoring and maybe somebody that lives on the edge a little bit.
Mike, I am sorry. Thanks for the call. I don't mean to yell at you. I'm sorry. I will take the guys that show up day one in shape, ready to go, post every single time. You never have to question their work. I'll take those guys every day of the week. Bergeron and Chara. I'll take their way. Would I've liked them to come through in a few more big spots? Sure, you bet. But in terms of, you know, I knew people were going to bring that up. Like Pat Kane, it's a good example. Not exactly the most disciplined guy off the ice, or at least he wasn't early in his career. He won. He showed up. He played all those playoff games, and he won. And if you can be that guy, then fine. More power to you. Then you become a cult hero. You can light it up. At night, you can be on the town until 3 in the morning, and then you win the cup, fine. Then you're a cult hero. If you are out till 3 in the morning and doing that thing, and then you lose the next day, you're a loser. You're a loser who doesn't know what it takes and doesn't get it. And until Pastrnak wins, that's what he is. And I'm not even telling you that this is what this is. I have no idea what this is. All I know is the whole team's out there. The whole team leadership is ready to go. Day one, they could be on the ice. Bergeron's on the ice. Chara's on the ice the next day, and they're there and they're ready to go. And Pastrnak can't stay on the ice. He can't get on the ice. That's on him, and I have no idea what it is. All I'm telling you is the Bruins should be frustrated by it. You should be frustrated by it. You should be frustrated by it. Does he get it? Does he know what it takes? And you know, I asked that about Tatum the other day. He's just playing golf. At least he's there. At least he is. He's posting. He's with the team. He's practicing. He's there, ready to go. And so I get on him for playing a little golf. At least he's there. Where's David Pastrnak? So, I mean, he deserves more scrutiny as far as I'm concerned. I'm blowing my whole Pastrnak thing that we're doing a little bit later. Coming up next, more Chris Sims. He had a whopper. Chris Sims, in the middle of his thing on Stidham and Newton, I think, dropped a bomb. We'll hear this Sims bomb coming up right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Nass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Will Cam be the starter? Are you certain of that?
No, I'm not. All right, so here's my just first blanket statement, right, on Cam Newton. To me, this is like one of the ultimate boom or bust moves in the history of the NFL right here. That's how I look at it.
So that's not the Sims bomb, the Sims whopper. He just thinks it's a competition. There's a chance Stidham beats him out, and Cam Newton's not the guy. So you just add him to the list. A lot of folks who feel that way or are reporting of that. So there's a real campaign there on the part of the team to put that out there. But before I get to the bomb, Maz, what do you think of that? That, you know, clearly behind the scenes, the Patriots are making this known that it's a competition. It's not Newton's job. Stidham can still win it, etc. Why do you think that's important for the team to get that out there?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons, one of which is they don't want Newton to half-ass it. So they don't want Newton to take anything for granted. And there is a, you know, a tangential effect or a ripple effect on Stidham there in the process, too, that if Newton comes in and takes it seriously, then in theory, Stidham will also respond or not. And they'll get a better read on what Jarrett Stidham is really ultimately made of competitively. So I think there are a couple of gains there for them.
And you just don't buy it, though.
I don't, because I think that you don't bring Cam Newton in unless you're prepared to make him the starter. And I go beyond that. I mean, I sort of say that lightly. I think that you don't bring Cam Newton in unless your intention is to make him the starter. And so I think ultimately, and I think Cam Newton wouldn't have come in if he didn't think he would win the job. So I don't know. There's a little bit of a tricky thing there for Newton, right? And maybe this is why the Patriots are taking the approach they are. Newton looks at it and sees Jarrett Stidham and says, Brian Hoyer? Stidham, please. These guys can't hold my jock. Like, I can't beat these guys out. And so he's got this sort of very cavalier attitude about it. And the Patriots want to make sure that he doesn't, take it too much for granted.
Okay, so I'm taking all the reporting on its face. I think all the reporting about how they feel about Stidham was real. And I think that there's a chance that Stidham's still the guy and that Newton gets blown out in camp. I think that's real. I think the thing that's not being reported is the change of heart and, you know, why is Stidham the guy? Why is he the guy? And then, oh, here comes Cam Newton. Like, I still believe there was something of a changing of heart here in the last couple of weeks where they cooled on Stidham for some reason this year or something. There was a development, and that's not being reported. But I think both those things are true. I think they like Stidham, and I think that there's a chance that he's still the guy. But the reporting is split, though, on... Was this the master plan? Was Cam Newton always the master plan? Chris Sims says no. And in the course of explaining that, he revealed something that I just find delicious. And so this is a longer cut, but he will get to what I'm talking about. And so, Jimmy, just roll it in if we could, please. Chris Sims, number four.
You know, if people say that this was the plan all along for the Patriots, I don't think that's correct, because you had no way of knowing that Cam Newton would fall on your lap, especially at the price that he was willing to finally accept there. And so I think it just shows, I think to your point, it shows that they were willing to wait and see if Cam was there late and maybe take a stab at him there. But they were confident to go with Jarrett Stidham if some other team was able to jump up and get him.
No doubt. And listen, I think we need to hit on that point. This wasn't like they thought about Cam Newton in early March and we're like, let's lay in the weeds until early July and then we'll make it happen. No, this is something that kind of, from my understanding, festered throughout the offseason a little bit. There was some phone calls between the agent and the team and things like that. And I think it was something that Bill continued to think about and digest. And I think then they started to do their homework on Cam. What's the guy like? Does he work hard? Can he handle our, you know, mental grind of stuff we put in our offense on a daily basis? You know, so I think they started to do their due diligence there. And then, listen, New England, I mean, again, if you made me bet, I would bet New England had Cam Newton followed for 3 to 4 weeks. That's just the way New England works. I don't mean to be like creepy about it, but it's what I always heard they did with Randy Moss back in the day when they signed Randy Moss. For everything I know, they sent somebody out to watch Randy Moss every day. They watched him work out. They watched what he did in his life. And I think knowing New England, they probably did something like that again, too. And then when they started to hear, wait, everything's checking out. Check the box. And then it was, he'll accept what kind of money to come play? Okay, hold on. Mr. Kraft, hello, this is Bill Belichick. We've done our homework on Cam Newton, and he's willing to come here for like $1 million. It's like a steal. And I think when that all happened, then it started to come this perfect storm where it was like, okay, we've done our due diligence. Now this might become a reality.
Okay, so he's trying to answer that whole question of, was it the master plan? Were they in on Newton from the beginning, or did it just develop late? And he sort of halved it, right? Was not the master plan, but there were conversations. Bill was festering on it and, you know, da da da. But in the course of that, I think the bomb is, and I don't want to get Chris Sims in trouble, but Randy Moss was spied on for 3 or 4 weeks. They followed Randy Moss. Does Moss know this? That they had someone down there, they had someone in the bushes watching him work out, then tailing him when he went home and tailing him when he went out at night, and this is what they did with Cam Newton?
I mean, the way he talked about that, too, it sounds like it's like common knowledge between him and other players throughout the league. I had never heard that before.
I had neither. I'll tell you, though, I don't think it's unprecedented. I think it's, I don't want to say common, but I think teams do it when they're you know, interested in guys who may or may not fit their value system.
Okay, so there's...
Go ahead.
Well, there's two tiers to this. One is, that's fascinating, and that's sort of, you know, I don't know if Randy Moss has heard this. I mean, did you know you were being trailed for 3 to 4 weeks? Ernie Adams was in the bushes with the binoculars and the camera.
Jim Murray, P.I.
Exactly. Well, they had Jimmy Hot Fingers tailing you. You know that the
here's my notes. He was working out until 10:30 p.m. After that, he had a cheeseburger.
The navy blue Crown Vic was actually Jimmy Hot Fingers following you. You thought you were being tailed. You were. I mean, does Randy Moss know that the Patriots were spying on him for 3 to 4 weeks? Again, I don't want to get Chris Sims in trouble, but. Like, that's sort of a big accusation. That's sort of a big one. And, oh, by the way, I'm glad. They should. Absolutely.
Especially after Aaron Hernandez.
Okay, I was just going to say, but part of me doesn't believe it. Now, Moss, yes, Moss was in 07. Hernandez was what? When did they draft him? 11?
2010. He was the same draft as Gronk, right? Yeah.
Okay.
2010.
So, I believe the thing about Randy Moss. I do. Because I think at that time, Moss was toxic. Maybe at that time, the Patriots were still dotting their I's and crossing their T's. Somewhere along the way there, they probably lost surveillance, though. Because they sure as hell weren't following Aaron Hernandez, who was on a drug-fueled murder spree without them knowing it. Okay? So don't tell me that they were doing this with every player. Because, again, their star tight end, who they give $40 million to, was on a drug-fueled murder spree. And they had no clue. They had so no clue that they gave him $40 million. And if they're tailing players around, could they have spent at least maybe just like 30 seconds last year on Antonio Brown? Like, did they tail Antonio Brown around? Because if they were tailing Antonio Brown around, they would have found furniture flying off the balcony and women, you know, being a kid, you know, like they would have found a whole litany of stuff. So part of me believes that this has become a little bit of a myth. That they keep all these close tabs on their players, because if they did, they wouldn't have given Aaron Hernandez that money and they wouldn't have signed Antonio Brown. But
yeah, 07's a long time ago. Maybe they just got lazy.
Why can't it be yes on some guys and no on others? I mean, Hernandez was drafted, right? So it's a fourth round draft pick, and then they didn't give him the contract until he was in their operation for a couple of years. So the point being, you know, that now they whiffed. I'm not saying they didn't whiff, but in terms of Moss and Newton, they were both, well, Moss was a trade, right? So, but maybe they'd been, you know, they were guys that were in the league that they didn't have in their operation that were probably relatively easy to keep an eye on.
I'm not sure what you just said there.
My point is, I don't think it's apples to apples to say, you know, they didn't follow Aaron Hernandez. Well, right, because he was in their operation and they missed it. And I'm not defending the fact that they missed it. But I also think that in the case of Cam Newton, I think it's entirely believable. And when I say they had him followed, I mean, I don't know if someone's hiding out in the bushes with a camera and a cigar and, you know, eating a greasy sub in the whole nine yards. I don't know what's going on in those bushes. But could they say, hey, you know, keep an eye on him for a couple of weeks? And is he working out? What's he doing at night? And,
I mean, oh, by the way.
I believe the teams do that. I do.
I want them to. And if that's unethical and makes me a bad person, well, so be it. Okay, but I want them to. I think it's the smart thing to do. I just think, boy, if that's what the Patriots do, they don't do it with every guy. And I know the guy in their system is different than someone outside their system, as obviously with Aaron Hernandez. I just think that's worth bringing up. I mean, if you're going to go to the lengths of trailing Randy Moss for 3 or 4 weeks, or trailing Cam Newton for 3 or 4 weeks to find out what they do, how they're working out, where they go out at night, you know, this, that, and the other, you know, before you hand over a guy $40 million, I mean, they missed it so bad on Aaron Hernandez, it's a joke. But that's a special case. You want to put him to the side, put him to the side. What's the excuse with Antonio Brown? And I think, and Maz, to me, I think what Bill doesn't get, you know, people don't appreciate enough from Bill, and I don't mean appreciate in a good way or understand. Sometimes he just flies by the seat of his ass like everybody else.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. All I'm saying is that I don't think it's necessarily a defense in his case with Antonio. I'm not disagreeing with that part. The only thing I would say is Antonio Brown got cut by the Raiders. He was on the street for how long? Like on that one, you sort of say, well, you got to act quick, so there isn't time. So, and I'm not saying that they investigate every guy, because with Antonio Brown, they didn't even have to investigate. It was all out there.
Oh my God.
He basically threatened to kick the crap out of his general manager. And Bill was willing to jump in and offer him a significant guaranteed money right out of the gate. So he didn't have to investigate Antonio Brown. They should have known that one out of the chute. I'm just telling you that, look, I'm not telling you they did this because of Aaron Hernandez. I'm telling you that. If they did it, I don't have a problem with it.
Oh, no, so it's definitely not an Aaron Hernandez thing. I just bring it up like, you know, they're going to be spying on people. They could have used a little of surveillance on their former tight end is all I'm saying. And I just think, you know, I think it's smart to do. I would hope that they would do it. And I think it's important to know. And, you know, Newton certainly is, you know, especially at that position, you know, what's he doing at night? And now during these times with COVID, it's like he doesn't have the chance to go to the club. So, I mean, that's just a dynamic that was different during the Randy Moss thing. But, you know, so the point being, I mean, that's still quite an accusation. Trailing guys, spying on guys, 3-4 weeks following Randy Moss. So, you know, Cam, if you thought.
Do you believe it?
If you thought on Moss, I definitely do. But either way, if you thought that that guy with the mustache, with the binoculars in the bushes, if you thought that was a figment of your imagination, it might not have been. That might have been a guy. That might have been.
It was Paul Perillo,
an operative from the Patriots following you around. How about that one? All right, so let's pick that up on the other side. Right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Oh, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you made me bet, I would bet New England had Cam Newton followed for 3 to 4 weeks. That's just the way New England works. I don't mean to be like creepy about it, but it's what I always heard they did with Randy Moss back in the day when they signed Randy Moss. For everything I know, they send somebody out to watch Randy Moss every day. They watched him work out. They watched what he did in his life. And I think knowing New England, they probably did something like that again, too.
I love that. How do you think Cam Newton would feel about being followed for 3 or 4 weeks by the Patriots?
Not good.
Just to be given a minimum salary, just to be given veteran minimum and no guaranteed money and all, you know, just for that. How about that? And I think they should. I would. You know, if I could, I know it's probably against the law. It's unethical, all that. Like, I get it. But there's something about due diligence. I just think, you know, that's just that double-edged sword, Maz. I just think people give the Patriots credit for, like, dotting every I, crossing every T, the most detail-oriented team in the league. Yet, and that's why I bring up Aaron Hernandez. Yet, they had a drug-fueled mass murderer in their locker room every day, and they had no clue. So it's like, we want to give them credit for doing all that due diligence. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just fly by the seat of their pants, and maybe Cam Newton's that too. I don't know, but I hope they're following him. You know, I hope they found out exactly, you know, how he's conducting himself and what he's doing. And I say that, you know, half in jest. You know, I hope they did their due diligence on Cam Newton.
I'll tell you this. I hope they do it with Jarrett Stidham too.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, and so we're talking about a unique position here. And for that matter, I'd even tell you that, you know, as things were getting to the end with Gronk, I would hope they did it with Gronk. Like, you know, there were some guys that, and forgive me here as my phone's ringing so I can shut this freaking thing up. There are guys that I think you look at and you say, no, we got to be a little bit careful here. This is a guy who, you know, likes to go have a good time. And I don't even mean it necessarily from like a, you know, this guy's a lawbreaker or anything else. I mean, is this guy putting in the time? Is he committed to his craft? Or is he screwing off the whole time? So here's a question I have to ask about Newton now. You say, well, if we're going to invest the money, we're going to have them followed. Well, they didn't really invest that much money.
That's right.
So is it possible they saw something they didn't love and say, we're only going to give you the minimum?
Oh, I mean, that's interesting. To me, it's the investment in Newton is not money. It's he's now the face of your franchise, basically. I mean, he's one of the biggest stars on your team. It's the position. It's talked about a lot, quarterbacks, management, position, et cetera.
Yeah, based on that video they put out last week when they formally announced the signing, he is the face of the team. There's no question about that.
So he's now, you know, one of the central figures in the organization. He's one of the central guys representing the brand, right? So
yeah, I'll tell you. Well, with Newton, yeah, I don't have, I mean, I don't know about you. I don't have any, Newton has no history of being, you know, a bad citizen or anything, at least to my knowledge.
No.
And so, to me, this all comes down to how serious is he about football? How serious? So, if they wanted to get a sense, is he working out? Is he putting in the time? Is he, you know, what kinds of workouts is he doing? Who's he working out with? What's he doing in his downtime? Like, if that's the stuff they wanted to know, we want to know how serious he is. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Okay.
I mean, you know, this is a big position.
Back to your thoughts. Here is Mike in Northridge. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Mike. I'm just surprised that no one's put any time into talking about how this is just a lot of coming together of Bill Cash Money going broke on the playbook and saying, well, we just put players in a position to succeed, and it's all about the playbook and the coaching. And if Cam doesn't pan out and Stidham's bust, he's going to look real stupid. Like, he's going to look not like he's accustomed to looking. And I'd love to hear what you guys think. I'm going to hang up.
Well, but what's the point? I mean, I don't understand the question.
Yeah, me either.
I don't understand the point. Yeah, if it all blows up and they suck, he's going to catch a lot of heat. You bet. 100%. Yes,
I mean,
sir.
That's the crux of the Bill versus Brady argument, isn't it?
It is. But I'm sort of wondering it's a bigger picture thing. I have a conspiracy brewing on Newton as well that, you know, maybe we'll flush out some other time. It's not time for it right now. Pete in Delaware. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. So you were talking about the video. I was shocked by the video because in New England, it's always been you have to earn something. The guy hasn't even thrown a football in 7-on-7 non-contact drills yet. So for them to do that, I was stunned. And the only thing I can think of is they don't have any investment in him, but could it be they did the video to motivate Stidham? I mean, I just, there's no rationale for that video. The only thing I can think of is...
No, let me tell you the rationale. Pete, let me tell you the rationale. That the web people have taken over. Everywhere. The web has taken over. And the marketing side of the building and the business side of the building and the web side of the building just won out. This is what teams do now. Patriots are getting with the Joneses when it comes to this stuff. And so you sign a new quarterback, you put out a hype video, that's just how it's done. And Bill could have stepped in the way, but chose not to, or was overruled or something like that. And that's what I think happened. I do not think Bill gave it his approval because Newton's the starter and Bill's okay with them putting out the hype videos. I don't think that at all. I just think Bill's away. Everyone's away. The marketers, the nerds are there, you know, over their computer. We just signed a new quarterback. We're putting out a hype video because that's what we were paid to do. And so they did it.
Yeah, on that end, I think it could have something to do with the in a lot of ways, the franchise and the buzz went to Tampa.
And I think that's a good point, too.
And they got merch to sell, you know? It's a time where any of these teams are trying to make as much money as they possibly can in the face of a difficult circumstance like we all are. And even if this guy doesn't end up being the quarterback in the meantime, go buy his jersey, please.
Exactly. I don't know, man. He's the quarterback. That's a big spot. I don't think you mess around with that spot.
Meaning what?
Meaning that you don't do it to sell jerseys. If you're talking about your quarterback position, you're trying to motivate the backup. You can do that other ways with Andy Dalton, for crying out loud.
You're acting like the football department had anything to do with that thing.
Oh, I don't think they blocked it, which tells you plenty.
I just think they, you know, on that one, they gave up. Whatever. Go ahead. Do your thing. What, everyone's, or Bill got overruled. Or they didn't even ask him. You know, like I wouldn't put that past the business side. Bill's not in the building. So it's like, you know what? Don't even ask him. Just put it out there and let him bitch later. You know, right? It's better to ask for forgiveness and seek permission, that whole thing. Would you put it past them to do that? It's like,
oh, yeah. No, after the Bengals thing, I'm sure Bill would respond kindly to that.
He responds poorly to everything. He's not happy about anything. So, like, I mean, then I'm just sort of reflecting what the attitude of that side of the building would be. Or, you know, or you know, even the crafts. Like, he gets pissed off at everything. Put out the video. Everyone else is doing. We'll sell some jerseys. Bill doesn't like it. He's fine.
Maybe Bill wants to pump up Cam Newton. He wants Cam Newton to know that he's going to be behind Cam Newton. They believe in Cam Newton. Maybe he wants all of that out there.
One thing I've gleaned here from the last couple of weeks is Cam Newton does not need any pumping up. He is sufficiently self-pumped. A long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I will say, I feel like this is maybe something that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels would love to prove, is that they can have a successful team and a Super Bowl winning team without Tom Brady.
Well, of course. I mean, come on. We know that. We know Belichick and McDaniels want to shit on everybody and go, hey, it's us and not Brady. And we know Brady down in Tampa wants to shit on everybody and go, it's me and not Belichick or McDaniels. So that's understandable. I get that. You know, I don't think that New England will be consumed by that, though. It, just knowing those people up there and how they work, Ahmed, it's just do your job every day. It's not like, oh, what's Tom doing? Oh, let's look in the newspaper. Ooh, Tom did this. Now we need to do that. They're not going to be like that. They're just not. They're such a focused, detailed, unbelievable group that way.
Some more Chris Sims on... He's got this right. Bill wants to bleep on Brady. Brady wants to bleep on Bill. But I disagree when he says the Pats won't get sucked into that. Oh, I think Bill will get sucked into that. I think we've seen Bill get sucked into personal.
I think it's already happened.
Things.
It's happening now.
It happens. It happened in the Super Bowl, for crying out loud, I think. You know, so Bill's human. He gets sucked. You know, there's no question Brady is sucked into it. But I think Bill and the Pats will as well. And maybe that hype video was that. And it wasn't Bill. It was the business side of the building saying, Brady's getting all these clicks, for lack of a better term. You know, can we get some clicks out there? And Jimmy said a interesting analogy to me in my ear in the break, Maz. Remember that during the suspension, or I guess when Brady came back, or the big Brady banner on the lighthouse?
Yeah,
looking at you, Jimmy. Screw you, Jimmy. You know, like that thing.
Worship me.
And they, you know, Bill had him take it down. Bill didn't put that thing up there, the crafts or the business side or whatever, the marketing side said this would be cool, and they put it up there, and they didn't ask Bill, or they didn't, you know, they put it up and they sought forgiveness as opposed to asking for permission. And I wouldn't be surprised if that video was the same thing. Bill's not into those videos.
No, definitely. So here's the only thing I would tell you. Brady had been here how many years at that point? And so, you know, Brady is a guy that you'll break the rules for because he'd earned it. He'd won Super Bowls. He'd been committed to the franchise. He took a bullet on the whole Deflategate.
The whole point is the same, is that Bill didn't put that thing up there, just like he didn't put the video out there.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, maybe they were willing to take those steps and those risks for Brady because it was Brady, and Bill won't be mad. It's Brady. Cam Newton, guy hasn't taken a snap here. They're going to pump the crap out of him in a hype video? I'm sorry. That one to me is... I don't think there's no way Bill didn't know about that. There's no way he didn't know, and he would have stood in the way of it if he really wanted to.
I'm not so sure, but who knows? Meanwhile, they're trailing Cam Newton and Randy Moss. Leo and Franklin, your thoughts on that?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
You know, I didn't Mo Vaughn get trailed by investigators in the Red Sox?
Yes.
For obviously opposite reasons. My question is, in my lifetime, it seems like the Red Sox as an organization, instead of when a superstar is about to come up for a contract, if they don't want to sign him, instead of just letting him go and being happy, they seem to put a negative spin on him.
Well, so this is a different thing we're talking about. But when I heard Sims, the first thing I thought of was Mo Vaughn. Did they trail him? Like, because they didn't give him the contract.
Yeah,
correct.
So when and why were they trailing him? I just can't remember.
because they were really it was about the negotiation, whether or not they deemed him worthy of the investment, and they also wanted to know what he was up to. The other thing is,
and he was up to plenty, by the way.
They were following him to all the booby bars, right?
The Foxy Lady.
Yeah.
Oh, he used to hang out at the Foxy Lady constantly. It was a big spot for him. But don't forget too that and that was, you know, that's Mo Vaughn going back, different ownership group, different executive. This different GM, this ownership group, they did it with Carl Crawford.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So they were getting ready to make a big investment in Carl Crawford, and they also had Carl Crawford trail.
That's right. So they got it right with Vaughn, by the way. You know, he ate himself out of the league within a couple of years, and I know he fell down the dugout steps, right? But anyway, he wasn't there to last, and if they found that out while trailing him, turns out they got him right. It's an underhanded thing to do. What do they see with Carl Crawford? Why, instead of trailing him around, why don't you try and watch him hit? You know, base your assessment on that. But again, Chris Sims said overnight that he wouldn't have been surprised if the Patriots were trailing and watching Cam Newton for 3 or 4 weeks to gauge whether he was worth signing, as they did with Randy Moss. He heard they did that with Randy Moss years ago. Very interesting. Bob in the car on this conversation about David Pastrnak, which we're about to circle back to. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Felger. Yeah, so Pastrnak and Sagan, two completely different animals, right? They never should have won in 2013 versus Toronto, because then they would have fired Chiarelli. They would have gotten rid of Julian. Chiarelli for screwing up the Ginla deal and bringing in Yager anyway. We would have kept Sagan, and who knows? I don't know if it would have been Bruce, but, you know, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater with Pastrnak here. Let's give the kid a chance. We don't know the whole story. You know what I'm saying?
I'm dubious about Pastrnak. Give him a chance. Why should I give him a chance? We don't give anyone a chance. It's now two straight cups where it's questionable. And this is in the very early – I'm not putting this until last year. But do you understand what Pastrnak did last year? Do you understand this? They're one of the best teams in the league. They're going to the playoffs. He goes to a client dinner and afterwards is, you know, for lack of a better term, doing stupid human tricks out on the street. He cracks his thumb and comes back and isn't the same guy. And, oh, by the way, do you remember him turtling against the Blues in a couple of those games?
Sure.
You know, the Blues were headhunting, but, you know, they did it for a reason because they knew the Bruins would lay down and Pastrnak led the charge on that. And so that's what happened to you last year when you should have won a cup. And now here you are again, Stanley Cup favorite. And Pastrnak is not only the last one on the ice, he can't show up for day two, or he's not cleared to show up for day two. I'm sorry, he didn't get a break for that.
But the other thing is, who's saying throw him out with the bathwater? I'm not saying, I don't know if you are, but the guy needs to grow up. I mean, that's the way I look at it. And, you know, the caller brought up Sagan, so let me just finish the thought. Yeah. All my point was with Sagan is this. If Bruce Cassidy was the coach, is he the same player that he was under Julian?
No, he would have had a better chance with Cassidy, no question.
Okay, so that's my only point with Sagan.
And there's no doubt about it. I mean, I just wouldn't compare. They've given Pastrnak his second contract. You know, he's here. Like, they've invested in him, which makes this even more, I think, even more important. And, you know, even more of a story. I mean, they've made you essentially their franchise guy. You're the guy. You're an MVP candidate. The team's a Stanley Cup favorite. You should be the first one back ready to go out there every day. That should be you. You shouldn't be the straggler. And you shouldn't be the one that on day two, they have to hold off the ice for whatever reason. You shouldn't be that guy. And I'm sorry, if you want to say Pat Kane is that guy, he won three. When David Pastrnak wins three, he can show up late. Fine. Then you can show up late. Until then, I'm sorry. Bad look, bad sign.
Well, they invested in Sagan too. They signed Sagan.
Did they? Oh, they did sign Sagan. That's right. It was actually a pretty good contract.
Right, and that made him more tradable, which made the trade all the worse. Oh, frankly. That's another story for another day.
Forgive me. They did sign him. I forgot about that. Either way, I don't think they got Sagan wrong. I think Sagan's a loser. I mean, how long has he been in Dallas now? Is it 5 years?
Well, at least.
Yeah, at least.
Have they won a round? I think they've won one round
last year.
I think they've won one round since he's been there. Maybe two. I'm sorry. Like, to me, the second guess on Sagan is the return. A pathetic return. Joke of a return. But, you know, if he was the wrong guy, then he's the wrong guy. He hasn't proven to me that he's the right guy. Well, let's circle back to what we're talking about. In case you're just joining us, David Pastrnak's situation here with the Bruins. We'll give you the latest right here in the update with Big Jim Murray. Also want to tie this into a Celtics situation and Kemba Walker. We'll do that all right after Murray's update. He'll give you the details. No commercials, 90 seconds, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.